This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, sports fans, Christmas is come and gone and the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen what our teams are capable of this year, and now it's time to get those last bets in before the big Super Bowl. Will the Ravens be able to get it done? Will Brady and the Patriots get themselves another ring? I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag and make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make your bets for the bowl games, MyBookie's where you want to go. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all. From NBA to NHL to Premier League, they have the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer service. You can even pool your bets together for bigger payout. Let's say you have a couple big favorites this week. Parlay those wagers. You can bet multiple games together. And if they come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines, better odds for the player than any other sports book out there. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Which means if you deposit $200, you'll get an extra $100 in free play money for free. All you have to do is use the promo code THPN to activate the offer. Once again, that promo code is THPN to get extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Friday, it was easy. Sunday, not so much. Are the Oilers that bad? And are the Canucks that good? Good evening and welcome to episode 27 of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. And rivalry weekend's done with a split. I don't know how I feel about that. Tonight I'm a little bit disappointed. As we record this, just minutes after Calgary drops a 5-2 disappointing loss to rival Vancouver at home at the Saddle Dome, it was disappointing. What wasn't disappointing was Christmas. I had a real nice Christmas with my family, and I hope you did out there in Calgary land too. That's what Christmas is about. It's about spending time with family and friends and getting together and kind of taking a step back from the realities of life and enjoying the things we have to be thankful for. Good to see that the Flames celebrated Christmas together. As I saw, Milan Lucic posted a picture. McGrattan was in there, Gaudreau, Monahan, Bennett, Brody, Giordano, wives, girlfriends. I like seeing teams do things together in the holidays and without much of a break. The Flames really couldn't leave to go with family, so they took care of it at home. Well, my health. Ugh. As I cough, it hasn't been good. It's getting better and better every day. I'm so sorry for the horrible episodes right prior to Christmas. Boy, I'm battling either bronchitis or pneumonia or some, I don't know what the hell I got, but it's been a rough, oof. Survived Christmas feeling like garbage. And I really apologize for those two episodes. I had to grit through those two episodes, really, really hurt. But feeling a little bit better tonight. Happy with the Flames for the most part. As I had this weekend, you know, marked on my calendar since the schedule came out. It's rivalry weekend, I called it. Right after the holidays, teams seem to have the schedule where they're up against their rivals. And I marked this one on the calendar because we had Battle of Alberta, Edmonton on Friday night. And Sunday night, the Vancouver Canucks come to Calgary. Boy, it doesn't get any better than that if you're a Flames fan. On today's episode, we are going to review rivalry weekend. We'll talk about that Oilers win. We'll talk about that Canucks loss. And then we have a very, very, very special Battle of Alberta Roundtable as John Boughton and Kyle Brandt from the podcast Oil Country, a great podcast you can check out on the Hockey Podcast Network. We get together and talk Battle of Alberta, Flames, Oilers, and a little bit about the Pacific Division too as a whole. Then I'll go into Harvey's Doghouse, fan question, and then preview the New Year's Eve game here at the Saddle Dome when the Chicago Blackhawks come to town.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network, they are proud to have a brand new and exciting new hockey podcast. It is called Ice Analytics. It is a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how they relate to the sport both on and off the ice. They talk about trades, signings, sports gambling, everything that has to do with analytics in the hockey world. Make sure you check that hockey podcast out on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Okay, Flames fans, it's time to recap. Time to recap what I tabbed as rivalry weekend. Hopefully I can get through it without coughing and hacking up a lung on you guys. All right, Friday night, Calgary takes a trip up to hated rival Edmonton. And you know what? Calgary wins 5-1, and I couldn't be more happier with the score. But I thought as a whole, and I don't know what you guys think, but did this game let you down a little bit in the fact that it lacked intensity? There was no grit. No grit at all. Lucic, Neal, no factors. I guess that doesn't surprise me all that much. Now, the good news though was the final score. Do you know the Flames are 29-16-3 this decade versus Oilers? Now, that's good news too, huh? Well, it started early on Friday night as Andrew Mangiapane scores his eighth just 11 seconds in. And you know what? This is a goal that Lindholm and Tkachuk started this whole goal. Lindholm with the assist on it, his 14th. Then at the 11:39 mark, Tkachuk gets his 15th. Mangiapane with the assist. Calgary's up 2-0, man. Things are looking good. And then Connor McDavid gets his 22nd with about 5 and change to go in the period, and we had a game again. Now, it wasn't a Connor McDavid goal that you usually see. It was a tip-in. It wasn't his rush where he seems to get those rush and goes wide on our defensemen all the time and scores. And oh, I hate watching that. I don't know how many times we see that highlight from last year and the year before. And God, it just, ugh. But anyways, he gets his 22nd. We head into the second period, 2-1 in favor of the good guys. Sean Monahan gets his 12th on, I don't know, kind of a weak one, I guess. I guess that would sum it up, huh? Gaudreau gets his 20th assist, Brody his 10th assist on that one. That one just 1:08 into the period. That seems to be a trend. We'll talk about that more in the third. Elias Lindholm gets his 16th at the 16:54 mark. Mangiapane is with another assist, Brody with another assist. That chases Koskinen. In comes Mr. Mike Smith. We know all about him, don't we, Flames fans? No scoring to finish out the second. 3-1 in favor of the good guys after two. Into the third period, Michael Backlund scores a beauty. Just 57 seconds in his fifth of the year. Frolik Giordano with assists. And it's 5-1 Calgary. That was also a shorthanded goal. And that's something we haven't seen the Flames do a lot this year. Is we have the worst, we allow the most shorthanded goals of any team in the league. But haven't scored a whole lot of them either. I believe that was only our second or third shorthanded goal of the year. But anyways, Michael Backlund gets a good one. And we need to get him going. We really need to get him going. All in all, very happy with the Battle of Alberta. We'll talk a whole bunch more coming up in our great roundtable we had with the guys from Oil Country Podcast. Don't miss that on this podcast. It is going to be excellent. But then, game two of Rivalry Weekend, Sunday night, just got over as I record right now. Just got done. Calgary drops a important game, 5-2 to Vancouver, and now Vancouver leapfrogs them in the standings into third place. Calgary falls to fourth in the Pacific Division. In this game, I can sum it up pretty quickly and pretty easily. No flow, tons of penalties, some stupid penalties, way too many blind passes that resulted in turnovers, and to top it off, we had a rare bad night in net for David Rittich as he gets chased after allowing three early. Three of them came in the first period as Tyler Myers gets his second of the year, 3:29 in on the power play on a shot that, I don't know, I don't really blame Rittich on this one. Brody was right in front of him. He didn't have a fighting chance of seeing that one. But then at the 6:40 mark, David Rittich lets in kind of a stinker. His third of the year, 2-0 Vancouver. Things are not looking good in Calgary. Then Jake Virtanen gets his 12th from Tyler Myers, the 10:52 mark. We're halfway through the first. It's 3-0 bad guys. And David Rittich takes a seat on the bench for Cam Talbot. No scoring the remainder of the first period. Vancouver pretty much dominated play for, you know, pretty much, let's just say it, all night long. They look like a much better hockey team than the Calgary Flames did tonight. I don't know if it was just the night or what exactly it was, but Calgary was struggling. Rasmus Anderson in the second period at the 18:36 mark gets his third of the year. Monahan Tkachuk with assists. Rasmus Anderson was very engaged all night. I was very, very, very happy with Rasmus Anderson's play. That end of the second, it's 3-1. There's a little hope in Calgary, a little bit of a scrum at the end of the second. We thought, hey, that's going to bode well. Usually that gets everything sparked and things get going. Not so much. As Tanner Pearson, 6:14 mark, gets his 10th of the year. 4-1 Vancouver. Noah Hanifin adds one at the 19:02 mark, his 4th of the year, on a weird, weird play where Demko just flat out got spun around and was facing an ass way, and Noah Hanifin pops it in, was basically an open net. 4-2, Tanner Pearson adds his 11th, his 2nd of the period at the 19:35 mark, an empty netter, 5-2, and the Canucks go on to win it 5-2, and what was really pretty disappointing of an evening, I thought, for Flames fans. I don't know. I just wasn't happy with the team's effort tonight. I really wasn't. I thought they just looked lethargic, slow, and definitely not the way I wanted to cap off Rivalry Weekend.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
All right, Flames fans, this is a very special feature in the podcast tonight, an interview I had. We'll call it the Battle of Alberta Roundtable. I had John Boynton, Kyle Brandt from the Oil Country Podcast, which you can check that podcast out twice a week on the Hockey Podcast Network. They joined me this afternoon, early evening tonight, and we had a nice discussion about the Flames-Oilers rivalry, the Battle of Alberta, the game on Friday night, how the Pacific Division is Arizona for real? Who are contenders? Who are not contenders? Who do they hate on the Flames? Who do I hate on the Oilers? Give a listen. Great, great roundtable. Thanks, John and Kyle, for joining me. It was a pleasure talking with you guys.
Well, Old Country, we just got through that brutal 5-1 game against Calgary there the other night on Saturday. So we brought on Brad from Flames Unfiltered to do a little recap with us and discuss that monstrosity of a game. So, Brad, lead us off. What did you think about your team's performance?
Well, you know, anytime you can get off and get a goal 11 seconds in, it sure helps. Playing from behind is killer. And it seems like Calgary played from behind, heck, the first quarter of the year, you know, and honestly, if you look back in previous years, Edmonton traditionally has jumped off on Calgary and scored early. So it was a nice little change.
Yeah, I kind of thought that we had Talbot in net, actually, considering how fast you guys got the lead. And actually, you guys got a goal pretty much the starting minute every period. I think one was a minute six and one was 57 seconds as well. Our kind of roles have reversed completely so far this season.
It's been a little bit of a weird year for both Calgary and Edmonton, and weird in different ways. Is I guess you're right. Everybody expected Calgary to come out of the chutes a little bit, not a little bit, a lot better than they were. And it's been a nightmare of a year in Calgary. And finally now I feel like I see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully it can continue. And, you know, as for Edmonton, I think, isn't this like the first time this year you guys have fallen out of a playoff spot?
It is. Yep. Just slipped out here. But, and yeah, it's been a tough go for us. It's kind of been the tale of two tapes a little bit.
Yeah, it has.
As far as our two teams. But what do you think, as far as Calgary goes, what do you think has been the big reason why that turnaround has happened?
You know, with the Bill Peters disaster, I don't even know what you even want to call that anymore, but
monstrosity.
Yeah. You know, I think at that point, the play on the ice, it was just kind of forgotten. And it was like, we're at such an all-time low as a franchise that you kind of had to hit the reset button, because there really was nowhere to go further down than that, really, was there? And, so we put together a couple of good efforts, got some points, you know, and then, you know, rattled off points in nine, I believe it was. And, anytime you do that, it's easy to jump up the standings quickly. And, crazily, the Pacific Division didn't get out of reach when Calgary was terrible. So they were able to pull themselves back up into that borderline playoff spot and kind of turn it around.
And I think that was one of the biggest issues with Edmonton, is like, we obviously had that really hot start, which is awesome. First in the Pacific through 10, 15, 20 games. But then you saw that, like you mentioned, the Pacific Division's been really stalling kind of throughout the year, and they just couldn't quite take that next step where they had ample opportunities to make that gap bigger at the top of the board. And now you're seeing where that starts kind of holding us barely in it. But if they were able to take that next step and build that 6-8 point gap, we'd be in a much better position than we are right now, which is, I mean, grateful for that start, but a little frustrating when you look back on those opportunities that we weren't able to capitalize on.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. But, you know, you look at the Pacific, and this division's been a jumbled mess all year.
It has been.
I mean, all of a sudden Vegas is in first, and I thought a couple of weeks ago, I was like, all right, finally Vegas is struggling. You know, for the first time, we can finally say, you know, Vegas is struggling, and now they're up to first again, and I don't know. It's just a really, really back and forth. And quite honestly, Calgary or Edmonton, in my mind, both could win the division and could both not make the playoffs.
Absolutely. And it's nuts too, because you still have the Sharks that are obviously struggling. But I mean, everybody knows that team has a ton of talent. Like, I've still been kind of waiting for that team to turn it around. And I'm looking right now, and they're only 7 points behind us.
Yeah.
With a game in hand as well. So, I mean, anything can happen in the second half.
It really can.
But it is a very hard division to predict.
Yeah, really the only two teams that I think are out of this is Anaheim and L.A. And, boy, I don't even know if – can you even write them off yet? I don't know. I mean, I guess probably, but
– I'm pretty comfortable with L.A. Anaheim, I'm fairly confident as well, but you never know, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with both those two being history. But, boy, if you don't know, though, I mean – They've haunted both our teams in the past, haven't they?
Absolutely. Sorry, go ahead, Cal. My voice is just a mess right now.
You sound like I did last week. I couldn't even hardly.
It's bad. Yeah.
I couldn't even function.
John, I'm sorry, buddy. Just to add on that, right? Like, like Vegas was last place. Weren't they like the lead off the year here? Like they were, like you said, Brad, like they looked like they were kind of out of place, like in shambles. And it seems like every team has kind of had that time so far this year where they've been hot and then been not, right? And there's just been no consistency except for maybe Arizona and then more recently Vegas. I don't really have a point here. I'm just kind of rambling, I guess. It's just an interesting, exciting division to watch.
I want an Oilers perspective on Arizona. Do you guys think this team is like for real, or do you guys, are you waiting for them to like fall off?
I personally think that they're for real. I think it's been a rebuild that's been coming for 7-8 years now that's finally starting to actually pick it up and show the team that they are going to be over the next 5 years probably here. I've been a huge fan of Dvorak, growing up back when he was in London playing for the Knights there. I was excited for his, career in the NHL and he's starting to really fill out as that second line center behind Smoltz, and now bringing Hall onto that roster. I think that they do have a chance to make a push this year. I don't think that they're necessarily a contender. But I think in probably 2-3 years time, I think that's a team that I'm happy is going to be moving to the, Central Division.
You know what? I guess I agree with you on that one. I think they're definitely in the mix here, and then I'm not saying that I think they're going to fall off, but like we just said a minute ago, they probably are the only team that hasn't had a real struggle point. I guess they've lost their last two and are 4-6 in their last 10, but I mean, they really haven't went on a skid this year, and probably why they're sitting in second place right now.
They've been pretty consistently right around that 500. Like,
yeah,
there's kind of a week or two here and there, I guess, but they've been one of the most consistent teams, like both you guys said. And I've got to be with Kyle and you as well, Brad. Like, I don't know if they're legit cup contenders. Like, it's really tough to look at those teams in the East, like Boston and Washington, and put Arizona in that conversation. But I think they're in that next tier of teams, and I think they're for real. I think they are.
I think they're dark horse candidate when it comes to the playoffs, right? Like, if the Oilers are out, or Brad, I'm sure if the Flames are out in your case, like that, the Coyotes are probably who I'll be cheering for next in that case. Just for the story of kind of just this franchise that's in shambles, kind of struggling to get arena deals and can hopefully turn it around and make an impact down there, right? So
it's interesting to me, like, they seem like they're built so well in the sense that they've got a very good mix of young talent, very good defense, good goaltending, and veteran leadership as well, right? Like, you look at that team and it's not really, they're not young, they're not too old. You know, they're experienced and they're very well-rounded. They're not a great, super high-scoring team, but adding Phil Kessel, who obviously hasn't been a huge goal scorer this year, but is slowly starting to piece it together. And then obviously the big Taylor Hall trade, that's some potential that if this team starts scoring more, they could be a lethal, lethal team.
Well, then, like, a lot of that, like, you have to credit John Chayka, right? Like, he's been an incredible general manager for Arizona and obviously deserved that extension that he received earlier this year. Because, like, that age on that team and that, you know, it's not an old team, it's not a young team, like you said, and kind of a lot of players are entering their prime right now. That's to do with how that team was drafted and built, and now all those players that were, you know, stuck in the AHL when that team was struggling 5, 6, 7 years ago are now all coming out of the AHL. And now their farm is stacked. They have the ability to make moves to go pick up a Taylor Hall because they built the team properly, right? Things that we could only wish we could do as Edmonton, right? So,
you know, when we talk about the word contenders, where, this is probably a crazy question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyways. But do you consider Calgary and Edmonton contenders?
I consider Calgary a contender. I don't consider Edmonton one at all. I mean, before the season started, me and John were talking about the Oilers pretty much being a bubble team at best, that we were looking
for. That's kind of where I had Edmonton also. It was a team that, you know, I mean, is right there, but they're just missing a few little pieces. And I think we saw that on Friday night is, you know, your goaltending it didn't help you at all on Friday night's Battle of Alberta match one. But
I think though with the Oilers, like, a lot more of our issue recently has been the team as a whole unit not playing defense properly. We've seen like Tippett's system come in at the beginning of this season and obviously was pretty effective, and the team, you could see how they played in their own zone, right? Like, if they would be patient, wait for the opponent to make a mistake, and then attack relentlessly, putting two men on a player consistently to make that puck turnover. And now you see, like, they come into our zone and they're able to set up, and the forwards aren't attacking, the defense let players behind them. I don't blame the goaltending so much. I mean, Koskinen's probably been our brightest star so far this year, outside of, you know, the duo McDavid and Draisaitl. But yeah, maybe in that game in particular, it didn't help us.
Kostinin definitely had a couple soft goals for sure in that one.
He did. So you guys are more fans of Koskinen than Smith then? Is that an easy?
I'd say yes in general. To elaborate on that a little bit, I kind of break down our goalies, and I'm sure for this one point, Calgary fans will be very familiar and probably agree with me on this one. Smith is the guy, you know, I look at him where he's going to have really rough stretches.
Yes.
But when he's on, I think his ceiling can be higher than Koskinen. And Koskinen's kind of more of that steady middle ground where he's going to have really good games as well, but maybe not get quite as hot. But it seems like he's very much less susceptible, to that, you know, those droughts that Smith seems to have.
So, I mean, I'll be completely honest on the Smith thing. When I saw that you guys were getting Smith, I was jumping for joy.
I don't
because
blame you.
I agree. He, and you know what? Honestly, he was our best player in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
By a mile. But there, he finds a way to make it so easy to get mad at him. You know, when he's struggling, boy, he is bad. And you're right. When he's on, he's on. But I felt like when we needed him last year, minus the playoffs, he wasn't on when we needed him to be.
Well, I mean, Smith in himself is just such an emotionally driven goaltender, right? I know we've talked about this on our podcast in the past, and I've mentioned how I don't necessarily like his emotional outburst at our own defense sometimes. No. But saying that too, like that's to do with his consistency. You can see when he is doubting himself and he's not playing with confidence compared to when he is owning his crease and not letting anything pass him. I think he needs somebody pushing him. I don't know. It's such a weird thing. He's been like that his whole career though, too. So it's not a new
thing. It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah. It's because he can be an absolute stud boss putting a 940 up and then putting up an 820 the next night.
Going back to Friday night's game, where do you guys put the level of intensity in the game? Did you guys feel it lacked a lot of intensity?
Oh, fuck yeah. It was honestly like, I know the score. Like once it gets separated, the fire is kind of less there. I guess obviously the Edmonton players are pissed off, but
still,
you would think that drives it more too though, John, right?
Come on.
Yeah. I would think. And I, the one thing I will say is both teams are coming off the holiday break. So not to give excuses, but I hope that that's the case and we're not going to see the next four games of this series like that, because it was like last year there was times, and I mean, most Battle of Alberta's, there's the odd game that's kind of a stinker, but most of them, there was a lot of fire and a lot of pushback and a lot of, you know, fighting and chippiness.
I felt like we were playing the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
I did. I just was like, come on. Like, there's not even, there was nothing. There was, like, no pushback at all. And, like, the whole, like, I mean, I don't know if I want to even get into the whole Lucic Neal deal because.
I feel like we have to.
Yeah. But I was going to ask you about it coming up here anyway. So.
Okay, but. Do you guys feel like this game completely proved how irrelevant that deal was?
Potentially. I think it's interesting. Like, you would have thought, especially with, like, it's not just those two, right? Like, you're talking about Neil, Reeder, Talbot, and those two. Like, there was a lot of changeover
between
our two teams. And, like, I'll be honest, I was coming back from Lake Louise, so I was streaming it on my phone for the first period and a half. So I may have missed some stuff there, but did Lucic even really have any type of altercation at all, like in front of a net or anything? Did I miss that?
No, you missed nothing.
Like, and Neil, not that he's as fiery or as a physical of a player as Lucic is, but it's not like he's still a power forward and gets into the chippy areas, and I didn't really see much from him. Obviously, you're not really expecting anything from Reeder, and then both goalies are on the bench, but you would have thought there'd be at least a little bit more drama there.
There was no drama. And like, I just wanted a good hockey game, but like part of the fun and part of the intensity of Battle of Alberta is like a little bit of fire, a little bit of chippiness. Like I was waiting for Cassian or even Sam Bennett or somebody to just do something.
Yeah.
But we saw nothing.
Like other than a couple of good hits. There was like no retaliation from them whatsoever.
And even like, you know, I always kind of, you know, I'm sure you have your, when you watch other teams, you have your guys you kind of worry about, you know, and like, I always kind of like Darnell Nurse, I kind of worry about that situation, you know, and it's like, there's just nothing. There was just nothing.
Even Cassian and Tkachuk have had a history, right? Like, I'm surprised that nothing lit up there.
Yeah. And Tkachuk didn't do anything either, which quite honestly, I'm not going to defend Matthew Tkachuk, but like, a lot of the times he's not even the one really starting, and he might start it with his mouth, but like he's not like
he is the ultimate instigator with
doing it
physically a lot of the time.
He
didn't
most of the time physically, he doesn't start it physically. He maybe started it verbally, but like there was none of that. Nobody flying off the handle even at him at all. It didn't look like anybody was upset with anybody out there.
So Brad, I've got to ask you about Tkachuk, because that was one of the few questions I had in my head coming into this as well. So you hear the phrase about a ton of players over the years of you hate to play against him, but you love him when he's on your team.
Yeah.
So does Tkachuk, obviously I'm not suggesting you hate Tkachuk, but is he that identical player? Like, cause there's like Cassian's a big example for that, right? He heard Sam Gagner when he was a Canuck. Oilers fans despised Zach Cassian. Now he's a fan favorite and he does some questionable shit that Oilers fans will defend to their deathbed. Is it the same with you, with Tkachuk, or do you look at it more of there's some shit that's kind of out of line and you're like, he shouldn't be doing that?
I got to ask, this is funny you asked this, because I got asked the same thing last night, and it was more directed towards the initial Tkachuk Doughty elbow.
Right.
Okay, I loved it. And that sounds crazy. I loved that situation. Has Matthew Tkachuk got himself into a lot of situations that I've been kind of frustrated with him? Yeah. Like, I like Matthew Tkachuk, and I think he drives the bus to an extent in Calgary, but I think it's been overblown quite a bit, and I think it's been overblown quite a bit in the Calgary market. I think Matthew Tkachuk is a good player. I don't think he's a great player.
Right.
There's a lot of times I get frustrated with Matthew Tkachuk because he looks like he's lazy. I was very vocal last year when him and Johnny Gaudreau, and that's a whole other story, but were vocal with the officiating. I think you can do that, but you can't do that every play. I think that looks bad, and I think it hurts you on getting the calls.
You've got to pick your spots a little bit.
You do. You got to pick your battles on that. And, I think Matthew Tkachuk, really glad he's on the Flames. Don't get me wrong, but I do think there's times where I get frustrated with some of his antics, I guess. But I also love the fact that he does stir the pot. And if you really look back at his career, I can count the cheap shots that he's done probably on one hand. He's not a Brad Marchand where he's going to take your knee out.
Right.
You know, and maybe I see that. Maybe I'm seeing that through rose-colored glasses. And please remind me of some, and if you can think of them.
Off the top of my head, I think a lot of it comes back to his earlier, like, rookie season, right? Where the one play at the top of my head is he didn't really come over the bench. But wasn't there one where I don't know if he speared the guy
or
cross-checked him, and he was in his bench and did
They were having an altercation at the bench, and he, like, hooked him in the legs. And then the team had, a meeting with him in the locker room after and kind of said, like, we appreciate what you do, but just time and place. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He's definitely, and you know, I see some of the mistakes that Matthew made early in his career. Brady's doing them right now. I'm trying to think back. I'm trying to remember it a little bit more clearly, but 2 years ago in the Battle of Alberta when Cassian and Tkachuk got into it, I don't even remember what the hell started that, to be honest with you.
He was on top of McDavid and like wrestling McDavid when he was on the ice, and then Cassian came back and tried to fight him, and then Tkachuk turtled up, and then that was kind of there.
And I think that's the biggest thing that my biggest complaint with Tkachuk, honestly,
is that he'll start shit and not finish it.
Exactly.
I'm with you there.
He will run around and not run around in a dirty way. It's not like he's going out every shift slew footing guys and spearing guys or anything like that. But he's a hard nosed guy that goes to the dirty areas, gets under people's skin, and occasionally crosses the line, and then doesn't pay the piper when they come calling, you know? And that's my biggest
complaint. He did pay the piper with Doughty, though.
For sure.
He fought right away. So he has before, but yeah, I can't completely disagree with you.
To be fair, though, John, like, that's kind of part of his character, right? Like, I'm gonna compare him, but it's obviously not to that extreme, right? Like Sean Avery, when he was in the league, was obviously hated. And I'm not comparing Tkachuk to Avery, but Avery was known to be like not actually as bad of a guy as he was in the NHL, right? Like he put on quite the persona and character in order to
create that
hatred towards him. And Tkachuk, like, turtling after he does that helps build that hatred. Like those players want to kill him even more now and are going to make more mistakes because he did that and trying to force him into fight. So I understand why he does it. I want to kill Tkachuk myself half the time.
Really? Right? But so like, you guys hate Tkachuk that bad?
Oh, I fucking hate Tkachuk so much, man.
It's partially because like the Calgary Edmonton tie, obviously, like I'll admit that plays a huge factor. And obviously other hated guys like Marchand's the big one. We play him twice a year.
Yeah. So but how do you,
straight up, I would have loved to have drafted him over Boone.
I wish we did one
obviously
pick earlier.
Kind of hindsight is 2020 situation.
Absolutely. Yep.
But yeah, I despise him. He's my least favorite player in the NHL.
Really?
I 100% agree with John. Yes.
I can't, that surprises me a little bit. It does.
It is a big reason that he's a Flame, right? Though that it's like that rivalry's there.
Yeah.
If he was a Florida Panther,
I might
even like the way he plays.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
exactly.
I'm with you.
Because I don't hate Brad Marchand near as many as a lot of NHL fans.
So do you fear Matthew Tkachuk?
Yes.
So you're afraid he'll hurt? Like when we play Washington, I'm afraid that Tom Wilson will hurt one of our guys.
Right.
I'm not afraid of Tkachuk like Tom Wilson.
Okay.
In the way that he's going to injure one of my players, like even though he has done like a slew foot or whatever here, you know, I'm more worried about Tkachuk and the emotional, like, how he's going to change our team for playing their game.
That's exactly
and take them off their edge.
Yeah, like, sure.
That's why I hate playing Tkachuk. Yeah. Which is good on his end. That's what he's there on your team for. So like, that's a compliment to him.
Cause I think of him as like a total pain in the ass, but I don't think of him as a dirty player.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
And the thing is, too, is like, you can't, like, there's dirty, dirty players, and then there's players that occasionally, like, fuck up and cross the line, right? Like, McDavid got suspended last year for a headshot. Does that make him a dirty player?
No.
So that is, like, the one thing I will say, trying to remove my bias. I will say that, you know, like, I don't think Tkachuk is deep down a dirty player. He's made some questionable and probably dirty decisions, but so is everybody. I mean, Taylor Hall elbowed Zach Cassian in the face. Was that last season?
Yeah.
Right off the face-off. That was a dirty play. But I don't think Taylor Hall is a dirty player either. So
No. I'm with you.
And some slack
I think every player has their moments.
It's an emotional game at the end of the day, right?
I got a quick question on the Battle of Alberta, though. Were you guys, and I had forgot, honestly, I can't believe I forgot about this, but I did until I was watching the pregame the other night, but Were you upset with Giordano on the McDavid injury last year?
I'll be 100% honest. I was. I don't think it was necessarily malicious. And I guess I'm torn where on one hand I look at it as unnecessary, where I don't remember the exact score in that game, but the game didn't mean anything for either team. Is that correct?
It meant nothing because, Calgary had already.
You guys were already locked in.
Yeah, we were already
locked out. It was done.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I know he's going for the puck, but he put himself in a situation where there was a very good chance he was going to take down a player from behind at high speed. And so in that sense, I was mad about it.
Sure.
In the sense of, it's such a fast game and he doesn't have the time to say, oh, I might take down McDavid here. Like maybe I shouldn't dive in there. He's just chasing and going after the puck and trying to make a play. So in the sense that he hurt the best player in the world in a play that from a bird's eye view, you can say, ooh, that looks kind of unnecessary. I was mad. When I thought about it a little more, I was like, you know what? It's not malicious. It's a bang, bang decision. I can't really be mad at the guy.
Because, I mean, the way I saw it, too, is McDavid was driving to the net, too, where he could have let up, too. Like,
For sure. He's not
the collision happened before that. It was pretty much at the circle, right? He was driving by fast. Gio got beat and then dove out at his legs kind of to try to poke the puck away.
Yep.
But you can't hate Gio, right? Like, that guy has to get respect throughout the league. He's not been a dirty player his entire career. He has maybe made two bad moves. One of them, I think, when he dived in on LA earlier this year. as a career wise, like we were talking about people making mistakes and not being a dirty player, like Giordano gets that respect. So
yeah, Minnesota wasn't too happy with him last year either, but yeah, they're limited
for sure. And it, you know, like I said a couple times today here, like it's an emotional game, right? Like
I know,
and shit does happen, and it's a fast game. Like I think that's a thing a lot of fans don't realize. When you're watching on replays and judging the decisions of the players, and it's like, it's easy. And like, I've been guilty of this myself too, where you're like, oh, why does he make that pass? And it's like, put himself in his shoes at his angle, and yeah. You have a split decision to make that decision. For a split second to make that decision, excuse me.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty good game. Obviously, Friday night I was happy with the score, but I was actually kind of disappointed in the lack of drama.
I gotta say, when you were talking about that a little bit earlier, when like the lack of drama and conflict, I was like, I can just like feel all the Oilers fans listening being like, this guy comes in, team wins 5-1.
I'm happy with the score, but I'm also smart enough because every time I've, you know, talk shit after my team's won, like I got to do this four more times with you guys. Yeah. So like I'm a realist. Like this is going to be a battle this year, and this is, and I pray that this is a year like we meet in the playoffs. Like wouldn't that be awesome? Like I have friends would be like, well, you got it. Don't you just hate the Oilers and want them to lose every game? Like yeah, like I hate the Oilers, but like God, I just. How awesome would it be for hockey and Alberta to have this? I mean, it would be gong show.
Agreed. I cheer for you guys until we meet up with you in the playoffs and then we sweep you. That's pretty much like all I hope for.
I'd be scared as hell to play you guys, even though I think we're a better team than Edmonton is just right at this point. You know, I'd be scared to death to play you guys. I would be.
And it's one of those things, like, I remember, I think I saw a tweet leading up to the Battle of Alberta, and isn't it like, since the last time we played in a playoff series, Washington and Pittsburgh have met like 12 times in the playoffs?
I think so, yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like our fans are kind of robbed of that, like, it would just be such a rough and physical series, and just so fun to watch. I mean, I'm with you, I'd be terrified in the sense that it would be one of the hardest series to lose other than like a Stanley Cup final.
Oh,
where we're so close geographically. Most of we have a lot of Flames fans in Edmonton and vice versa.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, if your team loses, you've got at least a year of just free chirps flying at you for that.
You know what would be fun to do? If you couldn't get tickets to go to that, it would be fun to go to a bar in Red Deer. And sit and watch that game.
They should do a big, like, at the Centrium or something in Red Deer. Yeah. Have a viewing party and half Oilers fans and half Flames fans.
Oh, jeez.
Send like 10,000 police officers there.
One final question. Yeah. Yep. What other team in the Pacific Division do you guys like totally get up for?
Like, hard on for?
Like, are you like pumped to watch? Who else are you pumped to play? Calgary's rival with Vancouver is almost, in my mind, as big as it is with Edmonton.
And we're definitely rivals with them too, but I would say your guys' rivalry is more intense than ours and Vancouver's is. Vancouver for sure. I would say as far as assuming the good Oilers team shows up, I will never get tired of beating Anaheim.
Nope, me either, but we don't ever beat Anaheim, it seems like.
Yeah, so. It's kind of 50-50 with us, but it's, and not even just the playoff series a couple years back with us, but honestly, just everything about that team, other than their old Mighty Ducks logo, I hate everything about them. So there was a while there, like now that they're not as good, the Battle of Alberta intensity is heating back up again, but there was several years where I legitimately hated Anaheim much more than Calgary, much more than Vancouver. Like it was hands down, I hated them the most.
Probably because of Corey Perry.
Corey Perry
and Kessler
for sure.
And Getzlaff. You know,
even Getzlaff, like, I love the way Getzlaff plays.
Me too.
Hate the stuff he gets away with because the refs just have the most raging hard-ons for that guy, and it's ridiculous. Like, it's baffling.
Well, that entire team's strategy was just, like, let's consistently take penalties so they can't call us on every penalty. Like, that seemed to be their fucking game plan.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
What about, so you would say Vancouver to flip that question on you?
For sure. Yeah. Yep. To me, it's honestly, you guys, and I'm not trying to be a smart ass or anything, but, like, just with the way the Edmonton-Calgary's been in the last couple of years, like, I've been more jacked for Vancouver games. It's probably because I got a really good friend that's a Vancouver Canucks fan.
Fair enough.
And that amps it up a little bit too.
Sure.
But so I'm really pumped for those games, but I'm also, I mean, Battle of Alberta, like, how do you go wrong? I mean, that's where it's at. And but yeah, Vancouver and Edmonton are definitely in my eyes, Calgary's biggest two rivals.
Pacific
swing. Just that Western Canada, obviously, yeah. Kind of geography helps, but there's been some heated shit over all three of those teams
for a
while, but luckily the Oilers, I mean, even though they're struggling a little bit here, we're not decade of darkness. So hopefully we see this Battle of Alberta continue to ramp up and both of our teams I hope so.
God, can you imagine if we got to do shows this year, if we were in the playoffs, how fun would that
be? I'd be happy for it, man. I got respect for like the Flames. Oh. Like you said, we can have mutual respect and hope for good hockey in Alberta.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll see what the plan is for the network guys once playoffs start. But honestly, I was kind of thinking of this, like, if, knock on wood, if the Oilers make it in, especially if it was against Calgary.
Doing playoff series.
I'd honestly love to do, like, game recaps every game.
Yeah.
Just because, like, playoff hockey's just so intense, you could easily do a whole episode on each game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then preview the next one, obviously, a little bit, but that'd be great. Yep. But, yeah, I think we'll leave it there, and congrats on the victory, and hopefully we get you next time. It was a very big pleasure talking with you, Brad, and we'll catch you in a little bit under 2 weeks, I guess.
Nice talking with you guys, and let's definitely do it. It's fun.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Talk to you later, and take care, Brad.
Yep, thank you.
See you, buddy.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Flames fans, it's time for a little bit of Flames news. As we talk about happenings in Calgary world. A couple little things to talk about this week. Dustin Wolf, Calgary prospect, Team USA and the World Juniors had a strong performance in relief on Friday or Saturday against Germany. So he stepped in and had a really good outing. Just so you know, since Jeff Ward took over, 9-4-1. Actually, it changed now after tonight. No, actually, 9-4-1 in his first 14 games. That counts a loss tonight. Damn it, I had to get it in there. Alan Quine. We saw him a little bit in Calgary last year, a little bit this year. Is he going to take a spot to maybe a Jankowski later on in the year? We'll see. But anyways, Friday in San Jose, Alan Quine playing for Stockton in the American Hockey League. 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points in an 8-1 win for the Stockton Heat. And they continue to have a very, very good season down on the farm. Tonight, Sunday night, at the Saddle Dome, the legend Mika Kiprusoff was in the house. So great to see one of the Calgary Flames' greatest players of all time. I know he was one of my favorite. Have a jersey of his hanging right behind me now. I really miss Mika and what he brought to the team. And it was just, he kept you at the game every single night when he was out there.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network and Flames Unfiltered is very excited to announce a partnership with Gong Show Hockey Apparel. Win great prizes weekly on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. Check it out, sign up, win prizes.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, time for a feature we have called Harvey's Doghouse. This is where I pick on a guy for his recent play. And tonight, I don't know. I just have to do it because he's been driving me nuts lately, and that's Matthew Tkachuk. Bad penalties tonight. I know his second one. I'll give him a break on the second one. I will. But his first one tonight was just senseless. Stupid, stupid, immature penalty. Results in a goal for Vancouver. You can't put us down making penalties like that, especially if you're going to be a leader on this team. Seems like his effort's been a little bit low, hanging his head a lot tonight on Sunday night. His last 5 games, no points tonight. He had a goal against Edmonton. Wasn't bad against Edmonton. Wasn't great. He was -2 against Minnesota, no points. Yes, he had a great game against both Dallas and Montreal. 3 points against Dallas, 2 against Montreal. He's a -2 against Pittsburgh. I don't know. Just seems like his intensity level has been a little bit low. Now he's on pace for his career totals that we've always enjoyed in Calgary with Matthew Tkachuk and we talked about him as kind of being the future heart and soul of this team. And if he is going to be the heart and soul of this Flames team, he needs to pick it up a little bit. He needs to quit whining to the officials a little bit more. And he needs to lead with his attitude and his effort on a nightly basis, not just on a night when things are going his way. He needs to grit through the times when it's not going his way, like tonight. Bear down. Have a positive attitude and work through it. Fan question. Time for the fan question. How do you feel? I got this question like minutes before the game tonight, and I loved it because I found out about this, I was like, how do I feel about this? But the question was, how do you feel about the healthy scratch Sam Bennett received on Sunday night versus Vancouver? I'll be straight up and honest with it. I didn't like it. I thought Sam Bennett was pretty good in Edmonton. I think Sam Bennett is kind of, in a way, the heart and soul of this team. And maybe I'm being a little bit strong there because we've got to get over this stigma that he has just because he was a top pick, that we got to expect 40 points a year from him. Let Sam Bennett be Sam Bennett. Don't forget he was probably one of our better players. Besides Mike Smith, he was probably the best player in the playoffs last year. He's physical. He works hard. He was important in winning draws on Friday night against Edmonton. Now I know he's got no goals in his five games since returning from injury. And I also get that with the bottom six in this team, there's going to be a battle for ice time. And I'm not saying he should be on the top six. He should be a winger on our third line, and he will work hard on a nightly basis, and his production won't be what you expect, but he'll produce in many, many other ways. I expect Sam Bennett to come back into this lineup and be very strong. I won't lie. When I heard he was a healthy scratch tonight, I shook my head a little bit. I thought, is Sam Bennett getting moved? Is Sam Bennett getting moved tomorrow? I have no information on that. I have no inside information. I have no nothing. I'm just... The thought crossed my mind because I didn't think he was bad at Edmonton. So it made me wonder a little bit. Game preview time. And there's really only one game to preview before we record our next show. We'll be recording again Wednesday night, dropping Thursday morning on the Hockey Podcast Network. And you can check all these podcasts out on flamesunfiltered.com. You can find us on iTunes, all of them, Google Podcasts. I mean, it's on all of them. Make sure you check out flamesunfiltered.com. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com for more great hockey podcasts. You can get all you're going to need on the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, twice a week, podcast galore. Some great, great podcasts on that network. Anyways, I got sidetracked, didn't I? One game to preview. Chicago Blackhawks come to town Tuesday night, New Year's Eve game. Chicago sits 17-17-6, 40 points, 7th in the Central Division. Their last game was a 3-2 shootout win Sunday afternoon in Columbus. Calgary currently stands 20-17-5, 45 points, 4th in the Pacific Division. Their last game, Sunday night, a loss 5-2 to Vancouver. This will be a good battle. It always is a good battle. I know the Blackhawks are down this year, but it's always a strong battle when Calgary takes on Chicago. These are games also that worry me a little bit if you're a Flames fan. Just because when you're playing a team lower in the division, those are ones you need to get those points. You need to beat the Chicagos. You need to beat, you know, the LAs, which we haven't. You need to beat Anaheim's. You need to beat those teams lower in the Central, lower in the Pacific, teams that you're above. You can't afford to give 2 points away. Time to get things back on track after a disappointing night tonight as Vancouver Canucks come to town and knock out the Flames 5-2. Check back next Thursday as we run down New Year's Eve battle between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Calgary Flames. Thank you.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.